How that music tonight was good. The trio, the choir. To me, it's like going by the kitchen and smelling the aroma of something good cooking. I hope it's whetted your appetite for some of the Word of God tonight. Amen. It is an honor to be asked to, I almost said fill in, but I don't think I can fill in for Brother Hurst. Substitute, maybe, would be a better word. Him. Always amazing, Brother Hurst. We've been here probably over 3 years, and it's consistently good. I can't remember one bad sermon in 3 years. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. And sometimes that happens. I've seen some good preachers have bad days. I was thinking about Brother Huff, Gene Huff. He was preaching a graduation at Export 1 year. And I don't know, he must have felt he wasn't doing very good because he said, some days you got it, some days you don't. And he wouldn't preach very long. He just kind of sat down. Very unusual for him. Amen. My wife asked me last night, what are you going to preach about? I said, it's a mystery. Now, she caught on real fast because she brought up a verse out of the New Testament that had the word mystery in it. What was that verse? I hope you don't all sleep tonight, but I hope you leave changed. But that's not what Paul is talking about there. And I said, no, it's not that one. It's another one in the New Testament. Would anyone know another verse in the New Testament that uses the word mystery? Let's look. Mystery of godliness. Okay, that's another one. That's not the one either. There's another. Well, if you want to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, we're going to get to it here eventually. I've been in a couple weddings. I mean, I've only been married once. But one time I was the best man at a wedding of a friend. But unfortunately, in my ministry, I've done baby dedications. I've done funerals. I never had the opportunity to perform a wedding. Of course, my father-in-law, he used to say he'd rather do funerals than weddings. Because sometimes the people he married didn't stay together, and he kind of felt, I don't know, some way responsible. Maybe he didn't do a good job or whatever. When there's a funeral, it's already settled. You can't mess anything up there, can you? Amen. I hope tonight that as we go through this, that you will leave. Maybe with your relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe revitalized, maybe more than it has been. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus tonight, that before you leave, it may spark something within you that you would desire to have a relationship with Him. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Just looking at two verses here that Paul wrote, verses 31 and 32. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Our Father, may your word go forth tonight and have its intended purpose in each of our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As I was reading this and studying this scripture, looking at this aspect of a great mystery, when I delved into that word great, it seemed that the underlying word there in the Greek is mega. So tonight we're going to talk about the mega mystery. Now the word mystery is referring to something that only those who are initiated understand or know. It's kind of like when Brother Brian was preaching Sunday night. He had to interpret a word for some of us. Salty. See, I don't run around with that generation, I guess, that much. I really hadn't heard that term before. And so I really did need to explain to me. I was not initiated into the meaning of that word in its common vernacular. When we was in Sierra Leone, in their culture, they would have secret societies. The men would have some, the women have some. And they would go into the forest, into a camp, and they would do things there that only the initiated knew what they did. And this is kind of the concept that there is a great big mystery that only the initiated understand. Right. So what is this mega mystery? What is so great that can only be known by those that have been initiated? Now, as we read this scripture, you would have noticed that this mystery involves both a natural and a divine aspect. For it says there in verse 31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." So what is this mega mystery? Well, the mystery that Paul's talking about here is the essence of marriage. There is a leaving, a cleaving, and a becoming of one flesh. But I think the mystery is in "for this cause." What is the cause that makes a person leave, cleave, and become one flesh? You know, this has long been a mystery. There's an ancient writer, a wise man in the book of Proverbs. He said, "There are three things which be wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not." And what he's saying, there are four things that as he looked around in the world around him, he wondered, how do these things be? How do they happen? And he listed four things. The first one was the way of an eagle in the air. I don't know if you've ever seen an eagle fly. You're more than likely seen a hawk fly. You ever notice sometimes in the summer those hawks that can just fly without moving their wings? That is a really interesting sight. In fact, I remember in Sierra Leone, we had vultures. And these vultures would get big. They may be like a 6-foot wingspan. And sometimes I would look up in the sky and I would just see a flock of them. So far up in the sky, you could hardly see them, like a little speck, just circling without moving a wing. I said, man, that's wonderful. It's hard to understand how that can be. Of course, I think maybe nowadays we understand more. You got those hot air columns that rise up through the sky, and they just ride those, circle in them. The second thing you said was the way of a serpent upon a rock. Ever see a serpent or a snake move? Or maybe you moved when you saw the snake. I always thought that the best snake is a dead snake. That's why I've ever seen one. I usually have my gun out. I would shoot it. Best snake is the dead snake. But it's amazing how those things can zigzag, look like they're going side to side, but yet they can go so fast straight ahead, even though they were zigzagging. And that's the best way to see them zigzagging away from me. He said, that's wonderful to watch that. He said, the third thing was the way of a ship in the middle of the sea. A big ship, is it going in the ocean? And I think this might have been what James was referring to, how that little rudder can move that ship. But I think a modern day analogy that would be similar to that would be, it's amazing how it airplane can fly through the sky. There's been more than once I've been sitting in a jet, maybe 30,000 feet high. You know, you're looking down at the clouds. And I like to have the window seat so I can see what's happening out there. Well, that's not always encouraging, because the first time we flew to Africa, flew out in JFK in New York, and we're going down the runway, and I got my wing, the window seat, but it was right by the wing. And I'm noticing this wing's kind of, I said, that's supposed to be doing that. But it was supposed to be doing that. We flew up through a snowstorm and finally got above there. But it's amazing how you can just fly. Man can do that. But the fourth thing, which really I want to point out with you, he also said another thing that was wonderful for him was the way of a man with a maid. A love story. Why is it that a certain man is attracted to a certain woman? What is the cause of that? You ever heard people say, what did she see in him? Or maybe the rest, what did he see in her? Right? Sometimes that can be a wonderful thing to contemplate, how people get together. What is the cause that will lead to leaving, cleaving, and becoming one flesh? If we want to understand what Paul is saying here, I think we need to go back to the original statement where we may find a clue, which means we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 24. For it says there, therefore, which is another way of saying for this cause, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so again, in this verse, we are confronted with this idea of this cause. So let's go back and see what the therefore is therefore. Let's go back to verse 18 in the same chapter. In verse 18, God says for the first time, of all that he has created, that it is not good that man should be alone. The first time we see something is not good in what God created. Man is not a mono. Man is not intended to be alone. He is not one. Man by himself is incomplete. So God says, I will make a helpmeet for him. That is a helper that is over against him. One that is corresponding to him, to supplement him in his incompleteness. I kind of like the idea of two gears that are meshing. Sometimes they clash and cling, but they should mesh. They're intended to mesh. God said he would make a helpmeet for him. So this is the basis of marriage. One's need and the other's power to satisfy that need. Two separate, distinct yet complementary entities are joined together to make a more complete and better whole. That is the cause for marriage. For this cause, the cause of making a complete whole, a man shall leave, that is, break one binding relationship or one bonding relationship, and cleave, be glued to another. You know, that's why God hates divorce. You cannot unglue something. You can rip it apart, but you can't unglue it. And when you rip it apart, things get damaged. It says, a man shall leave and cleave and become one flesh, or one whole unit. That oneness out of two, only the initiated, the experienced know what that is like. And so this is the conclusion of the natural mega mystery. There is an experience, a fulfillment, a sense of completeness, a joy that only can be realized after one has divested himself of former ties, his own individuality and freedom, and committed himself solely to another. And you have to experience that to know what that is like. But this is a mega mystery. But Paul says, but I speak concerning the church, the mystery of Christ and his relationship to the church, I think is an even greater mystery than that of a love between a man and a woman, or vice versa. But it also involves the leaving and cleaving and becoming one flesh. Jesus said in John 12:37, for this cause I came. Did you ever contemplate what Jesus left to come have a relationship with mankind? He left an exalted position. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Another place the scripture says, he being in the form of God, he was the Prince of Heaven who came to earth to be a pauper. He was the Creator who came to be the creature. So he left that exalted position. But he also left exquisite beauty. The psalm says, behold the beauty of the Lord. But he came to earth, and we find here no beauty that we should behold him. He left the beauty of heaven to take on the scars of the cross. What else did he leave? He left the exorbitant worship of angels. The exalted one came to earth to be executed. For this cause, he left. To what did Christ come to cleave? He loved us and gave himself for us. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. To those who were weak, he came to cleave to those who were sinners. Even while they were yet sinners, he died for them. While we were enemies to God's purpose, but for this cause, he committed himself to this world. To what did Christ become one flesh? He came to become one flesh with mankind. He was born of a woman. There was a man by the name of John Howard Griffin. Now, he is a white man, but he believed he could never understand the plight of African Americans unless he became like one of them. So in 1959, he darkened his skin with medication, sun lamps, and stains, and then he traveled throughout the southern part of America. He wrote his book, Black Like Me, which helped him to better help whites to better understand the humiliation and discrimination faced daily by people of color. You know, Jesus came to become like us. His incarnations is evidence that God understands our plight. He came to be one flesh with mankind, even in all our human frailties. He came and lived and was tempted as a man. But also, Paul said in verse 30, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, he became a man. And so the conclusion of this divine mystery is there is an experience, a fulfillment, a sense of completeness, a joy that can only be realized after one has divested himself of his former ties, his own individuality and freedom, and committed himself safely to another. But you know, to me, what another mystery is, and maybe even a greater mystery, why would Christ give us the opportunity to become his bride? I read one time in the Vietnam War, there was a soldier who got severely wounded. In fact, his face was all burnt from the war that had happened. And when he came back to his fiancée, he began to wonder if she would even want to have him or to marry him. And she made this statement, I did not marry a face, I married a person. You know, Christ came, and this is the greater mystery, is why did he give us the opportunity to become a bride with him? But you know what is even a harder mystery for me to understand is why do we turn away from this opportunity to have this relationship with this one who's done so much for us? You know, there are benefits to being married to the right person. I can think of some in the Old Testament. Think about Sarah. Where would Sarah be if she had said to Abraham, you can go on to Timbuktu, but I'm not leaving my family and home. But she went and had a miraculous birth and became the mother of the faithful. Or think about another one in the Old Testament by the name of Ruth. What if she had said to her mother-in-law goodbye and just stayed there with her people as her mother-in-law tried to encourage her? But no, she stayed with her mother-in-law and went, and she married the grandfather of King David and joined the exclusive lineage of the ancestry of Christ. You know, there's benefits to being married to the right person. Where will you be if you turn away from the courting of Christ and marry the world, the present, and materialism? But there are benefits from being married to the right person. As I finish up here, the music wants to come. I wonder if I could tell you about this bridegroom of the church. Who is this one who is courting you and I? This is the one who disrobed himself of deity. He entered into this world through the womb. He broke the chains of sin, resurrecting out of the tomb. He ascended to heaven to announce to the Father his bride. He dispatched the Holy Spirit as proof of his engagement to his bride. He built a city of gold as a wedding gift. He is coming back to earth on clouds to whisk his waiting bride away. He prepared a wedding supper that is beyond compare. And I tell you, his honeymoon plans are out of this world. And that is a truer statement than you can think. For this cause, the believer in Christ leaves the allure of the world and Satan and cleaves unto Christ and becomes one flesh with the divine through the Holy Spirit. There was one time there's some scientists who, according to this story, it's told by Harold Bennison, decided to develop a fish that could live outside of water. So they selected some healthy red herring, and they bred and crossbred and hormoned and chromosomed until they produced a fish that could exist out of water. But the project director wasn't satisfied. He suspected that though the fish had learned to live on dry land, it still had a secret desire for water. Re-educated, he said, changes varied desires. So again they went to work, and this time they retrained even the strongest reflexes. The result was a fish that would rather die than get wet. Even humidity filled this new fish with dread. So the director, proud of his triumph, took the fish on a tour. Well, quite accidentally, according to the official reports, it happened. The fish fell into a lake. It sank to the bottom. Eyes and gills clamped shut tight, afraid to move, lest it become wetter. And of course, it dared not breathe. Every instinct said no. Yet breathe it must. So the fish drew a tentative gillful. Its eyes bulged. It breathed again and flicked a fin. It breathed a third time and wiggled with delight. Then it darted away. The fish had discovered water. And with that same wonder, men and women, conditioned by a world that rejects God, discover him. For in him we live and move and have our being. And this is the mega mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Do you understand this mystery? Have you been initiated into the body of Christ? For this cause, he calls to you today. Confess your sins for forgiveness. Turn away from your sins with his strength and trust him for your future. Start or renew a relationship with Christ today. Our Father, we trust that the Holy Word will get into our hearts. And God, we would understand probably more than we could even conceive the courting, the love that you have shown towards us. And God, if there may be some here tonight that maybe their relationship with you has become somewhat stale, somewhat ordinary, oh God, tonight, if you could cause them to understand the love you had for them, that you left and you came to cleave unto them, that they could become one flesh with you. God, you have great plans for them in the future. God, renew that within them. If there are some here tonight, God, they really have not been initiated into this experience, that you would spark within them a desire. They would want to know you and find the joy that is there. Would you like to join me tonight at the altar? Let's express our love to God tonight.